God really just kind of took the lid off of what religion and what a man has made worship or deemed worship. And I really have been taking the limits off of what he wanted to do.
When we lose what we do to not be as unto God, we lose the motivation and the traction of what God's will is supposed to do in the earth.
God allowed this thing to happen to recenter our focus and focusing in on the harvest that is outside of the walls of the church, man.
Singing becomes easier when you're an artist and you're ministering, when you're actually living the lifestyle.
Wow.
It's almost like you're a walking prayer. You're a walking revival. And you know how some people set aside time. Let's pray before we go up. Yes, that's necessary. But what if you have to rush on stage? I need the gospel to come out of me.
For people that don't know, you're an award-winning recording artist, songwriter. Your aunt is Vicky Wanis.
Yes. Shout out to you, auntie.
You are the worship leader for this incredible church,
yeah.
Faith City.
Yeah.
Tell
the Spirit
me,
of Faith.
Spirit of Faith, that's right.
Yep.
Spirit of Faith. The music is called Faith City.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go back. How did you end up here, or what is this all about?
It's crazy because shout out to my beautiful wife.
Yeah,
Brittany, I love you so much, sweetie. But I actually started the relationship with Spirit of Faith long before we got married.
You started coming to the church because
yes.
you saw the daughter.
Ah! No, I was working.
See, you heard it first,
okay,
right
okay.
here on TV.
Please, no. I was working with the music department.
I got it, buddy.
For almost a year.
Your secret's safe with me.
Okay,
go ahead.
Safe with you. And then Brittany and I became friends. And then we became more than friends.
Clearly.
We got engaged. And then when we got engaged, crazy story, we were moving to Michigan.
Okay.
And I heard God clearly say, you're supposed to be with Dr. Freeman here in the DMV area.
Wow.
And I trusted God and I came, and then kind of the rest
is history.
Yeah, it was a faith walk for me. And when I tell you, it was one of the best decisions I could have ever made.
The biggest question that I get a lot and that I hear is, how did you get to where you're at?
Yeah.
And people are never satisfied with the answer because they don't realize how much it's the opposite of where you end up.
As believers, we talk a lot about the promises of God, but I don't think we speak enough about how there are conditions to those promises.
Wow.
And they're accessed through faith. And not just, for instance, speaking the name Jesus, but speaking it and believing that when I speak it,
yeah.
my situation changes.
Yeah.
That's where the power is. And I can do all things, not through me, but through Christ. So for me, I would say really within this last 5 to 10 years, I have been on this quest of really activating the measure of faith that I have been given, or I have been given, because we've all been given the measure. It's what we do with it. So for me, everything from dreams unlocking to peace of mind, to wellness, to health, to healing, everything God's going to do, he's already done it.
Come on.
He's done it all.
Come on.
It's all accessed through faith and believing and knowing how to use it, even when naturally everything looks that, like you get a doctor's report that says cancer and you can see tumors on the, it's hard to then remove yourself from a natural system and then put on a spiritual mind, which we've been commissioned to do.
Right.
And to really walk that out despite everything that we see. So for me, it's renewing my mind every day that I choose to believe everything that God said in his word.
Wow. You get here, you began to launch the ministry
yeah.
and with the music and whatnot. You guys end up having a challenge with giving birth, correct?
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
It was crazy. So we get married in 2015. And actually, our story went viral because we decided to remain virgins. And that whole thing, we went on Oprah, The View, Whoopi Goldberg, and Good Morning America, all these things. But then God began to show me visions of what my wife and I were supposed to do in ministry. Long story short, that's where, again, trusting God. Well, we go to try to have children. My wife has a miscarriage. And the doctors, they were telling us that we would have issues bearing children and this. And as a husband, you know, yeah. that can be tough trying to walk through that with my wife. Long story short, trusting God yet again, we have 2 beautiful children and one on the way.
One on the way? Another one?
One on the way.
Oh my God.
So faith, once again, faith.
All right. So then while you're creating this beautiful family,
yeah.
you began to do something. We hit quarantine, the pandemic
yeah.
hits. You don't retreat. you guys move forward.
Listen. Listen.
Who came up with all of this craziness?
Listen. I'm smiling so hard because I'm in the best season of my life.
Come on.
Serving my local ministry.
Amen. Say that again. Say that again.
I'm in the best season of my life. Serving my local ministry.
My local ministry.
And my pastor.
And my pastor.
And I'm seeing the fruit. Like, I can get emotional right now.
Come on, I'm with you.
Because, like you said, God has blessed me to do some amazing Grammy, Stellar, Dove.
And still. Still going.
And that's been Tim Bowman Jr. And everything that I'm in now with Faith City Music would seem oxymoronic for someone trying to make something happen. If God has blessed you with so much industry success, why would you retreat from that and then start pouring
into the local church?
Into your local church? Wow. Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, God gave me a vision. And he asked me a question. You know, when he asks you a question, it's not that he doesn't have the answer.
Right.
He asked me a question. Why do we have to watch grandma's church experience on Sunday morning? And you know how the award shows are normally on Sunday night. And then turn to the award shows on Sunday night to be inspired.
Okay.
Am I not big enough to provide a worship experience encompassing or inclusive of spirit, praise, worship, and inspiration?
Okay.
And entertainment.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm the author of it all. And from then, he literally took the lid off what worship was. And I began to study what was his original intent concerning worship. And it's not what we've made it. It's not what religion has made it to be. And you'd be surprised to see that in the text, you never see worship with music.
Okay.
Never. Not one time.
Wow.
So It caused me to go on a quest to see how do I worship God when I'm not in a B-flat chord and strings are playing. And then I'm crying out here and then I leave and get in the car and I'm nasty to somebody who cuts me off. So long story short, God really just kind of took the lid off of what religion and what man has made worship or deemed worship, and I really have been taking the limits off of what he wanted to do.
And y'all have literally gone viral. Literally, every time I turned around on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube.
It was crazy. Literally, the second week of the pandemic, when everything shut down, we did a virtual choir.
Okay.
And like 3 days later, we had like a few million views, and then Good Morning America called. And I'm sitting here like, what? Then Nightline called.
Wow.
And they did exposés on that. And from there, it kind of brought awareness to
what you're doing.
This worship team, this worship movement or whatever is different than what we've made church to be.
Yeah.
And for me, it's literally just been hearing from Holy Spirit and doing.
Yeah. And because of that, it has drawn some of the best in gospel music and in Christian music to join you on this very stage, right?
And when I tell you, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to do Kim Burrell and then you can do Kiara Sheard and then, you know.
Y'all bet everybody.
Yeah, it's just been good.
Listen, man, this is absolutely incredible. We are here live on the stage where it all been happening. Faith City Music, everybody and their mama has been on the stage sharing just incredible worship and music. And Tim, I'm telling you, I'm extremely proud of you.
I'm excited
for what God is doing here just all of the ministry and all the worship that's going forth. It's a fresh new way for a new generation. And I just think that's what it's all about. You have shared the stage, or people have shared, I should say, people have shared the stage with you from both R&B, pop, rock, and of course, gospel. What has been your most unique experience?
I would say standing in the dugout at Yankee Stadium and preparing to go out and actually sing in honor of the presence of the then Pope, Benedict.
Wow.
And Harry Connick Jr., my dear friend, invited me. I remember asking Harry right before we walked out, I said, why me? You know, 65,000 people sitting out there. It felt great to be standing. I said, but why me? Why did you ask me? And he says, Kim, you know, I feel like I'm the Jeep going out to prepare the way for the Cadillac. You're the Cadillac.
I love it.
It was so cute. And
I love it.
So pure and so genuine. And that was very unique for me, standing there. And it felt great.
Okay. Another very unique experience that I am thinking of right now as we're sitting here is when I saw you perform you surprised us at the gospel celebration in downtown Los Angeles, and you're singing, and all of a sudden, Whitney Houston comes out.
She enjoyed
you remember that.
Do I ever? They lost it.
We went crazy.
But yeah, she was so excited because, you know, gospel was her heart. It was her love.
Yeah.
And I never forget, after we finished performing, she wouldn't let me go to bed. We stayed on the phone for the rest of the night. We sat at the restaurant at least 2.5-3 hours. And she was so excited about doing that. It was a memorable moment.
Why do you think people like that gravitate to to you?
The anointing. The anointing. My sincerity, my genuineness, heart. I remember one time Whitney and I were having a conversation, and she says, sometimes I don't know who I'm talking to, if it's my sister, my mother, my auntie. I say, I'm all three. I'm what I need to be for you in the moment, lady. And so it's that, just being real.
Yeah.
Honest, fair.
And that's and in that way, because you are a pastor, mm-hmm. A songwriter, a producer, mm-hmm. a CEO.
Yeah.
And an incredible vocalist.
Thank you.
I would say your style is probably from the foundation of jazz. Am I right?
You know what? It was unintentional. You know, to be honest with you, along with the gift and the ability came my choice to sing that way, believe it or not, was wrought from me being dissatisfied with musicians. Sometimes they would not play according to how I would feel the song, so I would sing the note based on where I wanted the song to go. My father is from New Orleans. I think it's just in my blood. And then Daddy in the service, Daddy's 83 now. Shout out to Daddy. Julius Burrell Jr. My dad played for the great Sarah Vaughan and Nancy Wilson when he was in the service. When he was about 18, he played in clubs with them.
So it's in your DNA.
Absolutely.
It's in your DNA.
You know what? I sing according to how I feel. And I sing to tell a story. You know, some people have told me, some observers have said, you never sing a song the same. I said, well, the audience is never the same. The situation is never the same.
Okay.
I sing according to the moment and the need based on what I sense.
Is it the anointing when the squigglies kick in? Or?
You know what? It's the talent. And I make sure that the anointing is accompanying it. Yep. It's just talent.
Okay. All right. So let's get serious. You preach. You are a preacher. You're not somebody that just was like your career was slow, so you went and started a church.
No.
You literally carry the gospel. Somebody told me that you are very prophetic.
I am. I started preaching at 14, believe it or not. And when I was 18, I asked the Lord to give me the gift of the prophetic because I needed to know that I was hearing directly from Him. Believe it or not, I was frustrated with what I was not receiving from the pew. I was 18. And it wasn't that I wanted had a monopoly on the word. It was just that it wasn't filling me. I said, I'm reading something, but I'm not getting that. It's a lot of repeat offenders for me at this point. So I just said, I'm going to study the word on my own and hear what the Lord has to say to me. And I want to know your voice. He said, my sheep, they know me. I said, I want to know your voice. And I did not know that it would be at the level that it is. And God has used me and uses me prophetically. And I'll be honest with you. I've not always wanted to embrace that gift because the things that God says to me, He gives me the stuff to say to people that makes it matter and makes them do the work. Mm. Sometimes people like the prophecy that says in a few days, boom, a bunch of manifested blessings. But the way the Lord gives me the prophetic at times, He gives me that at times, but at times, most times, it is something concerning what they have to do as unto Him to make that stuff happen, you know? So, and it's very on point. And I get that. I get that response of, I can't believe how accurate you are, not just from the known spiritual side, but from my friends on the other side that represent other genres of music.
And I can imagine that causes controversy.
It does.
Yeah.
It does, as it would, as it did with Jesus. And I'm okay with that. You know, He says, if you suffer for me, if you suffer for Christ's sake, you'll reign with Him. I'm working on the reign. I'm working on that. I'm working on the R-E-I-G-N. I'm okay.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well said. And by the way, isn't this great with Tim, Faith City?
I'm so proud of Tim. Tim is a very different, anointed, chosen, special person. I would say to the world, keep your eye on him, not for popularity's sake. he's done that. He has a popular family. He, you know, great Vicky Winans is his biological aunt. And, of course, he's connected to the Winans family. But he's Tim Bowman. He has his own abilities. And I'm going to be honest with you, my friend, when I saw that he had joined forces, because Dr. Mike and Lady Dee Dee, they're forces. They are to be encountered. You don't just meet them. Right. They are to be encountered. And for him to be joined with them and by marriage, but he is a son, and he's so integral, and I love him. He's smart. You know, music is safe in his hands.
Amen.
I trust him.
The future, what prophetically is happening? Where are we going? What do we need to do?
The Christian world, the believer, we must continue. And as unto God mindset. When we lose what we do to not be as unto God, we lose the motivation and the traction of what gospel is supposed to do in the earth until all have heard. That's where we're working. It's until all nations have heard of Jesus. That's what our routing is. And we're not talking about different countries. We're talking about people. We have a job. And sometimes we get lost thinking that the platform for us to do what we do as unto the Lord is made for fame. Ah, well, you know, somebody had a comment the other day, make Jesus famous. We've lost it. How can we make, who is the representative of all things God, how can we make him famous? It's not necessary, as if fame is bigger than him. And so it is important to me that I see the body of Christ join forces again in understanding and bonding in the things of the spirit, not of the talents and not of the opportunities. We need to bond in spirit so that we can connect and have one voice, one mindset, and do different things. We are one body, but we are fitly joined together. We're all doing the same thing, but that has to take the threading of the anointing for us to all say the same thing, doing different things. That's the anointing that makes everybody know, oh, they're talking about the same thing, same God, same Jesus. And so my interest, you know, I laughed a bit when you said worship has become a genre rather than a lifestyle anymore, you know, and it has. There is such a famous energy around what we do as unto God that has burdened me. It has burdened me to the degree that only because we have lost sight. Some people say, well, you're famous. Well, I did make calls to do that. I didn't sign up. I've turned down events that put me in more famous energy than it would have been me being a vessel. Thank God for the anointing. The anointing of God has always separated me from even in the atmospheres that I've been in that says, you shouldn't be with them. But the anointing says I should be. My anointing qualifies me for this atmosphere because it says simply, I'm here to do him. I'm not here to sign up to find out what I can do to do this. And you asked what it was that made Whitney see me or whatever as that. It's the anointing of God. So my prayer is that at some point, you know, I want to see gospel music come together like We Are the World to do one song that brings us together for the motivation of the kingdom.
Do you write most of your stuff?
I like it like that. Yeah. I, you know what I mean? I prefer to because I think when you write it, it comes from you. You present it better.
Yeah, I like
that.
You
know, it's authentic, yeah.
Yeah, because it's real.
Yeah.
It's coming from you. Yeah. I met you, we met years. It seems like a thought. We met in Cali.
Yeah, we met when
I was still living in LA.
You weren't doing this.
No.
Right? You weren't this celebrity.
We were selling CDs.
This is when you were humble. I remember. I met
don't
you.
Don't do it.
I met you when you were humble. And now you're a star. But I'm on your show.
We were both independent artists.
We were.
I remember that. I was just starting out and you were just
starting out.
But what people may or may not, well, I think some people know your testimony.
Yeah.
You are already a professional baseball player.
Yeah, with the New York Mets. And thinking that I was going to make millions and millions of dollars and not have to really surrender my life much to the Lord and all of that.
You were already a Christian, though, right?
I was Christian, but I was a different type of Christian. I was, like, you know, not really faithful, and I was paying the price for it. So,
Wow. You start singing where?
In church. Well, when I was a kid, my mom and them made me go to church, and they would have me in the choir, and so I would sing a little bit there, and I kind of had that inside, but it wasn't really brought out yet. One off season, I came home while playing with the New York Mets, and I met Pastor Smokey Norfolk.
Oh, okay.
Of course, I went to his church, and really I went to his church because I was wanting to date a young lady, and she took me to his church. And so we went to the church, on a Tuesday night. That was the only night they had service. And the music was so crazy good. I was like, this is crazy. Like, the band was smacking. And so I end up forgetting about the girl, and I kept going to the church.
Wow.
Right? And I kept going to church, gave my life to the Lord. He asked me, he says, what do? You can't just keep coming here without using something that you have on the inside. And I said, well, I sing a little bit. And so he says, well, go ahead. We're going to put you in the choir. They put me in the choir. Then they moved me to the praise team.
Todd Delaney sang in the choir?
I was in the choir singing tenor, man. And I didn't know I was like good. You know what I mean? And Smokey really kind of pulled that out of me. I remember they would give me the microphone and say, like, sing lead. And I had nothing to add. Like, I didn't know how to ad lib, right? I would sing Lord You Are Good by Israel Hall.
Come on.
And I would have no ad libs because I asked Pastor Norville, I said, how do you know what to say in between phrases of, you know? Right. How do you know what to ad lib? And he says, go read your Bible. And he says, and when you read your Bible, I promise you, you'll begin to have things to say.
So for those of you that are watching and you don't understand what ad-lib means.
Yes.
Tell them what ad-lib means.
Ad-libbing is what you hear when a lead singer helps out the background singer. So you sing in between those portions with accuracy, and I had no accuracy.
Yeah. If you ain't got no word, you just say, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was me. And I got tired of it. I was like, I don't want to be like this. Right. I don't want to be in front of the people like this.
Yeah. When you look at your life transitioning from professional baseball, yeah, to going into ministry,
yeah,
and then watching it explode,
yeah,
as big as it is, I would say you're one of the premier gospel male artists of our times right now, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
What do you think?
I think that it's a dream come true, but it comes with a lot of responsibility. You know, to have to walk before God and be responsible for so many souls and people, even with your family life, but I prayed for it. And so it is a dream come true that I'm before the world, bro. Like, I see my life.
I love that.
Yeah, I see my life, and it's in front of the world. It's everything I prayed for.
Yeah, so you prayed for it, and the scripture says he gives you the desires of your heart. You delight yourself in him. I often say God doesn't add, he multiplies us.
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit, because you're not just doing music.
Yeah.
You're
literally
multiplying. Yeah.
I literally have fallen in love with helping people reach their dreams more than I do want to be on stage. Like, being on in front of the people, let me say this, being in front of the people the way we've kind of made it in the body of Christ has become real stardom driven. Like, there are a lot of superstars, and I kind of have decided to reject it.
Wow.
Just because it was taking a hold of my life.
Wow.
Like, when people invite you, you begin to even posture yourself a certain kind of way because you're so used to being treated with royalty,
yeah,
right? As royalty. And so what I'm doing now is my mind is focused on, I want to help the next get into the music, like, ministry world, because there are so many great singers, songwriters, producers that are sitting at home even right now, and they have no idea how to get into this world so that they can lead the people. And so, yeah, I'm doing that. That's my focus right now.
It's so amazing what you're doing. I want you to go back a little bit. I want you to talk about that moment when you had that aha moment of saying, man, I can't be, you know, it ain't about the celebrity of what this is. It's about the reaching out and helping. Yeah. What was, did you have an epiphany? What happened?
What really did it is because it seemed like every goal that I set for my life, when I reached that goal, it meant nothing. That was the aha moment for me. Like, let's just be honest, all right? I want to talk transparent. I wanted to make $1 million in a year, right? I did it. You know what I mean? And that meant nothing. Like, wow. It was like, oh, I wanted to buy like a 8-bedroom home. I bought it. It meant nothing, right? I got this really, really fast car that, like, it's called a Karma Rivero. It's really fast, right? It means nothing. And the moment that I realized that nothing that I did mattered, but only how I impacted other people here on earth. And the Bible says it's like, what you do for Christ will last. but impacting other people and pointing them in the proper direction. And it doesn't even always have to be spiritual, just actually helping people. When I realized that, that was the moment that my life, every day now I'm trying to impact people. I don't care anything about, like, I'm grateful to be here. TBN, I'm really grateful. But what I do for other people is the only thing that really matters in my heart right now. Wow. And it starts at home for me, yeah.
Starts at home. I often say it's the process greater than the promise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you get the promise...
Then what? You gotta find another process, right? And you're right. And that's what has hit me. And it really has taken a hold of me. I think we don't put enough emphasis and gratitude on the process. Like, the process is beautiful, man.
We don't put enough emphasis and gratitude.
Gratitude on the process. Like you say, once that process is over and you make millions, now what? You have to create another process to even enjoy, especially if you're a builder.
Yeah.
Like for me, we built the ministry of Todd Delaney, the music ministry. Mm-hmm. We built it and now the world sings all of these songs.
Yeah.
But now what? How do you build again? If you're a builder, you're going to want to build again. And that's what God hit me with. Yeah, to build others.
Lastly, worship. What's going on? Are we getting it right?
I think the body as a whole needs to utilize the pandemic as a telltale sign of what God is trying to do, man.
Wow.
And that's what I believe. I just believe that God is not desiring that we rebuild our church services the way they were. I believe that God allowed this thing to happen to recenter our focus and focusing in on the harvest that is outside of the walls of the church, man. And I believe he allowed us to be yanked out of the walls of the church,
yeah,
so that we can begin to focus on what matters, and that's gathering the harvest of souls. And I believe it's the same.
Yeah.
The world of worship is the same because I'm telling you, these stages are dangerous.
Yeah.
These are a dangerous thing, man. Sitting up here is a dangerous thing where everybody can see you. That's dangerous because pride is right around the corner. Whenever these lights and stuff, man, they do something. And you got to be careful and you got to be a certain type of person to be able to handle this stuff or else it'll drag you away and make you think that you're somebody, and you aren't. You're just a servant of God. We are servants of God. So that's what I think of what we've made worship in a nutshell.
I would say you're definitely kind of like your generation's premier vocal person.
You're the premier
singer. Yeah.
Wow, thank you. I appreciate that. I hope that I have a lot to offer, because those that were before me had a ton to offer.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of measuring up that we gotta stand to. I know sometimes some people of our generation may downplay it, but I respect who came before me. I respect those, you know, that were trailblazers or blazed the trail before me.
You know, when I talk to them, first off, tell everybody who your grandma, go
sure.
Go through the list.
So it starts with which side? You want the music side. So yeah. I got a side of preachers and I got
a side of gospel music.
So I'm sure you want to hear about the music. Dr. Maddie Moss Clark was my grandmother. And
she
played a historical role or a huge role in gospel choirs. Gospel mm-hmm. music. She was mm-hmm. a stickler, and that's where the movie actually stemmed from, her life. And then, of course, out of her...
Which, by the way, great job.
Thank you. Yeah. And then out of her, the Clark sisters came, and they've been doing music now for, I think, 40 years,
wow.
And they're still going. They've also done individual or solo projects, yeah. And they've changed the game there.
Yeah, and then your dad is over...
The presiding bishop
right.
of the Church of God in Christ. Yes!
Congratulations, Bishop.
Yes! Chief Apostle, Bishop J. Drew Sheard.
First Lady.
Yes, Karen Clark Sheard. And they are responsible for over 6 million people.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I was just, it's funny you just brought that up because I was just praying and covering my father. And I said, God, I thank you for the heart of this leader because there are so many stereotypes on
yeah.
leaders.
Yeah.
And I think that even yourself, to sit down and hear the heart of genuine leaders. It's like, no, they still out there. Yeah. Just how some women think it's all bad men. Some church folk think it's all, you know, bad. No, we got some good leaders. Yeah. So shout out to all the good leaders, too.
Speaking of, so this is the first I've seen you since you've been...
Married. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on.
There you go.
Oh, I can't see that. Lord.
That cost TBN about
$50,000. Oh, God. You mean to try that again?
Okay, how does it feel? Congratulations.
It feels amazing. It feels liberating. I don't think I've been as secure as I have been emotionally. I've even grown spiritually in my walk with the Lord. Marriage for me is not just fairy tales and pixie dust, but it definitely, I'm seeing the God components of it. It's God ordained. Wow. It's God created. Mm-hmm. So shout out to my husband. He just has challenged me to be so much more of a woman.
Wow.
So Jordan Kelly, I love you, husband.
Good job.
Thank you.
What do you say to, like, your generation? Y'all got a lot going on right now. You have all these social media platforms. The line is very blurred.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. We don't know what's, if you say righteousness, unrighteousness, yeah. you get all types of takes on that.
The root word of righteous is to be right. Mm. So when I began reflecting from even how I'm thinking, how I respond, how I react, what I say, my speech, my desire should be to be right in all things that I do as far as me mirroring Christ. And so I think it's more of a lifestyle than it is just having to do with artistry, but it's really coming alive because singing becomes easier when you're an artist and you're ministering, when you're actually living the lifestyle.
Wow.
It's almost like you're a walking prayer. You're a walking revival. And you know how some people set aside time. Let's pray before we go up. Yes, that's necessary. But what if you have to rush on stage? I need the gospel to come out of me. And so I think that our generation, there are some of us that are actually doing that. I was just walking in and having a casual conversation with my brother, Tim Bowman, and the conversation was prophetic.
Wow.
So it's like, not thus said the Lord, but it's just like, sis, what up? XYZ, this was getting right to happen. So I admire our generation and the generation before for progressively moving into understanding what spirituality is all about or what walking the life is all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so awesome to see different ones of you guys connect with the local church and Faith City and do something monumental and see the response that you guys have been getting on the social media platform.
Yes.
What do you say to the church folks that say, we don't need all that? I don't understand why y'all put so much showmanship into it.
My father often talked about being fishers of men, and I never knew what that meant. And he said, in order to be a disciple of Christ, you have to be a fisherman. You have to take on that mentality. And you have to learn the strategy of fishing. When you put a hook in the water, they're not just going to come to your hook. You know, and sometimes the correction, the word, sometimes it doesn't feel good because it's a hook that's telling you, come on in here so I can clean you up, you know? But on the hook, I have to put some bait.
Yeah.
And sometimes the showmanship, because people want to see that I can connect with you or you've been where I have been. Because I don't want to seem like, you know how sometimes we'll go and look at certain buildings and it'll feel or look intimidating.
Yeah.
But if I feel like, oh, y'all doing this? Okay, I feel like I can get in my zhuzh here. And then it catches them. So I really think it's just a strategy of fishing. And I think the whole point of it is to go fishing, clean up the fish, and let's give it over to the Lord from that point. So this is necessary.
Yeah.
And I think if anybody should have it, the church should have it, because we're talking about this God that created the creativity that the world loves, you know? So I'm like, let's do it. Lights, camera, action, okay?
Come on.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen to heaven? It's not going to just be here all the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready for what God is, you know, what will he be singing like? If we think the Karen Clark, she is the Kiera, she is the Tasha Cobbs, the Kimber Rails, I could go on of our favorite singers. What do you think God's voice will do in heaven? How, Jesus, will you pick up the mic? Like, what's that going to be like? Will you know choreography? So I definitely want to throw that out there. But yes, the creativity comes from myself. And of course, it's a collaborative effort with so many others.
Todd, tell people real quick what's going on with you and Delaney Music Productions and how you're taking the gospel and bringing it into the homes of people.
So my perspective has changed. I was really focused on building ministry for myself and on stage presentation. And I've shifted the focus to now just finding people that are next, finding people that can sing, giving them an opportunity to record. A lot of people are trying to get connected with producers, don't know where to go.
Yeah.
They don't know where to go to find background vocals. And we started a company. It's called Delaney Land Music. And so we got about close to 500 clients that get a chance to have all exclusive production.
I think most people look to you when it comes to if they got it to be able to be out there. What do you say to, you know, to...
She's just good. She's just good.
Yeah.
So like, teacher.
Like, I would imagine everybody, you know, what do you tell people to say, hey, listen, you got it. Go after your music career. You know, you got what it takes.
You know, I tell them the truth. You know, more so, I listen to what their ability is, and I also listen for what their lack of ability is, so that they can strengthen the strength of who they are, you know, so they can pursue it and have longevity. You know, I don't mind people changing careers, but it's hard for me to accept it when it's a gospel, because we represent ministry. And so I try to tell them whatever I can that can help them maintain longevity.
Yeah. Kiara, you are representing like this huge legacy. On, no pressure. But
a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. But you seem to wear it very well. You don't seem to let all the transitions affect you at all. And right now we know that we are kind of still in the middle of a pandemic and certainly went through it real bad. What do you say to the young people and to people in general? You know, how do you just keep that steady, calm peace? Because you really are always peaceful every time I see you.
Thank you. I think you set boundaries. It's like things that we say on social media, but we don't really go by them. But I set boundaries, and I've learned to compartmentalize. Like, I was doing a study of just reflecting how Jesus was. He loved everybody. He fed thousands. He walked with 12, and he only mentored 3.
Wow.
So that lets me know that it's okay to be selective with who you give your time, how you give your time. So I think that is what it is. And then who I allow to speak into my life, they got to match my wave of me wanting to be on the wave of the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's how I'm kind of, you know, adjusting.
It's good. What's happening? Where are we going? Because for you to be able to have foresight to put something like this together, it means you're looking into the future. So clearly, it was the right thing to do. So where are we going?
Talk to
the people.
Yeah, I think why Faith City and this whole worship thing is working here is because we have been charged to tear down and deconstruct a lot of things that man has constructed.
Wow.
That's not Bible-based. Wow. It's not even spiritual-based. These are things that have been passed down in religion that really don't mirror the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So I know that that's my assignment. So when we got this concept for Faith City and Friends, these people that are sitting here right now are my family.
Wow.
Like, this is like, she couldn't be closer than a blood auntie for me. She's a mentor. She's a prophet for my wife and I. Mm. Kiara is like my sister. Mm. And she's shown that far beyond words. And Todd is like that brother who is, he's so many things. He's this business guy. He can turn up. He'll preach you. He can worship you. And to be sitting here on this stage, even with you, Javen, you weren't a part of the concert, but you know, you and I have that relationship. Right. So I think collaboration is key in this next season. And people bridging gaps and coming together to identify kingdom and show kingdom.
Yeah.
But really hearing from God and not just being hearers, but being doers as well.
Talk to people about why worship is important to have in their psyche and in their spirit during these tough times. Because a lot of people are going through, we know suicide is going through the roof, divorce is crazy. Why should they consider worship? And somebody make the argument of why it's not music. Or you don't have to be musical.
Mm-hmm. It should be a life. It should be, you know, I like coming to, I call it the Faith City headquarters. But I like coming here because faith is the core, you know. Yeah. Faith is a mindset.
Wow.
It induces worship. It makes you worship God. To believe God for something, about something, is to worship him for him, worship him for it. And it should not just be into, the, you know, actually, music comes to my mind last when it comes to worship. And I don't want to offend people who are representatives of worship leaders. Mm-hmm. But music comes to my mind last because I don't think that it should be necessarily seen as almost like a genre. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be entreated as a way of life. And, you know, we shall be worshiping.
And to tag on to that, I think there are worship leaders who have been kind of derelict in their duty. And if you go to the text, we've really only been given two requirements for worship. We're going to worship and engage, number one, in spirit, number one, in truth. And most people get the first part, which is if we're going to do this, it's not a natural fight. It's a spiritual fight. But the second part, I've seen, you know, having the opportunity to travel the world and see congregations and people crying out, da, 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 da. And it seems like such a great act, but we're engaging it the wrong way because we're crying out of desperation and not revelation. When you know the truth, it's like I came in here with my natural bank account saying zero, which is causing me to act like I'm desperate when that is the antithesis of what the scripture said I am. I'm still a lender. My father is still rich in houses and land. If my doctor's report says this, he called me the healed of God. So when you operate out of that truth, it causes you to engage in these two commandments the right
way. Spirit and in truth. So not feeling faith. So it's not how you feel, it's what you know. So speak to somebody that's dealing with depression and anxiety.
Depression and anxiety. I go back to that scripture of the peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that you're not in control, but God is in control. So relieving yourself from that weight and even laying aside the weight. So if the word says, lay aside every weight that so easily, maybe the weight are your thoughts. What are you thinking? And maybe you are your weight. Lay yourself aside and really give it to the Father. Be anxious for nothing and trust Him with everything. Like we sing songs and say we trust Him, but do you really trust Him? I think that will remove you out of the space of being anxious or being in this dark space. At least that's what it did for me. I think too, our conversations have a lot to do with it. Confess your faults one to another, that you may receive healing. Who are you talking to? Then it says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Not every therapist is for the believer. I think that too has to do with it. But therapy is for you because as you confess, the scripture unlocks it and says that there you will receive healing. So go through that process too.
Speak on faith real quick before we wrap. You've taken a lot of huge steps of faith. You leaped from Major League Baseball into gospel, which is not pretty lucrative, really. So, but it's worked out for you clearly. And then now you're doing that with your company. I feel like you got something on faith real quick.
So the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so what I do when it comes to faith is I position myself like I already have a thing that I've put before God. And so
can you say that one more time?
I position myself like I already have the thing that I put before God. And what I mean by that is even sometimes I'll put myself in a corner where only God can bring me out of just to force His hand on meeting every promise that He put before me in His word. And so I'll back myself up in the corner, leaving professional baseball with no other plan and saying, you got to come through because you said so. And He always does. And the more you do it, you stretch out a little bit further and a little bit further. And before you know it, you're a giant.
Position yourself for faith. That's incredible. Okay, so we're here with the Faith City music team. I feel like we should bring them out. Come on out, guys. Come on, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Faith City.
So
y'all
good.
Do such a great job. How y'all feeling? Say, y'all. I know y'all not mic, but say hey or something so they can hear y'all. Do y'all like Tim or do y'all just be faking? This is amazing. Hey, listen, y'all are blessing people around the world, and what you do is certainly not going unnoticed. You know, we're here today. TBN is here today. Matt and Lori Crouch representing. We're all here today because of what y'all have been doing, and I know y'all probably just being yourselves, but it's obviously the right thing to do, and it's a huge blessing. And so thank you guys for doing what you do. Keep doing it, and don't think people don't notice, because they do. Certain people look for certain people on that stage, even though these might be out front. They might be looking for your smile. So we love that. And to praise teams around the world, y'all keep that in mind, man. Everybody on stage is a praise leader and worship leader. So just do what you do, because the world needs our worship. And to all of you out there, we want to encourage you. You don't have to be talented like these greats up here and the great folks behind me. you can just have a willing heart, position your heart to say, God, I want to acknowledge you in the way I'm raising this child. I want to acknowledge you in the way I clean this house or deal with this boss that I can't get along with. I want to acknowledge you in how I deal with depression, because let's face it, even though you're a Christian, you are not exempt from the issues of this world. So the enemy is always throwing stuff at us, but wow, we can guarantee you the quickening and the rifts and the arrangements and the energy. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff that you see, that is not talent. Mm-hmm. That is the anointing. Wow. It's really about just positioning your heart for worship and praise. I feel like we should sing at least all these singers on here. I feel like, come on, Tim, this is give us something.
Let's see. What do I feel? I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Oh, let me see. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks.
I love it.
Because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now.
And now, let the weak say, I